This is Eddie checking in.
This is Gage checking in, and this is Two Boys Podcast. Episode 10. Man. We're in the double digits, everybody.
The big one up. Hey, that's my lucky number.
Really?
Yeah.
Also, this is Eddie's lucky podcast.
Yeah, January 10th is my birthday as well. So I'm just piggybacking off my own birthday. Yeah.
Flex, but okay. Flex, oh, that's cool. Kind of like 0110.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I yeah, love that. Yeah, that, like, that, So, what's the word when it's, like, spelt forward and backwards the same way? Palindrome.
Yeah,
palindromatic.
Palindromatic. What's a moment?
Is that... Okay, anyways, we're already tangenting.
In. Yeah.
Clover checking in, and this is Two Boys and a Dog podcast.
Yep. So, quick rundown for social media, as always. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and any podcast platform that you think of. We mainly post on Anchor, but Anchor slowly rolls out all of them on platforms.
And we just got Apple unlocked.
Yeah.
So now there's no excuse if you're not, you can't be like, oh, I can't find it. You can.
Yeah.
It is on Apple. It's actually, I'm going to go through all the platforms. Just in case you need to tell a friend about this, I can tell you exactly where we're all heard. We definitely heard on Spotify. Definitely now heard on Apple. Thank God. We're also on Google Podcast, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Casts, Radio Public, and Stitcher. We might even get more platforms soon. I didn't even know there was more.
SoundCloud.
Not Spreaker for some reason. I still use Spreaker, but
yeah.
I've heard iffy. Whatever.
Yeah.
Anyways, yes, there should be no excuse, Apple or Android, unless you have like a Palm Pilot, then
go to your computer. Unless you're like Warren Buffett that still has a Nokia flip phone.
Yeah. So yeah, find us there. Again, as always, if you have anything to say about us, complaints, praises, whatever, put it on the Facebook group. Two Boys Podcast is the Facebook group.
And we all, I pretty much run all the social media stuff, so I'll, you know, be on top of it to the best of my abilities, to be always, you know, vigilant and, you know, trying to constantly be posting. And, you know, you guys can definitely interact with us, you know, I'll definitely answer.
So. Yeah. And so, send in topics too. If that's what you want to hear us talk about, certain things. We're just two dudes in the room rambling about our life. So
we actually can't get out. So like,
yeah, I sleep here in this chair. I never leave.
Yeah. The water that we have in the cups is all the water we have left right now.
It's recycled piss. So please send help. Please send help. So anyways.
So the rundown. So today we're going to be talking about goals. You know, understanding your worth. Boom, boom. You know, let me just get my nice, dandy notebook.
Why deny it? We got table of contents.
We'll just touch upon our 10th episode and what kind of that means for us. That just being the 10th episode. Wow. And then higher education and the alternatives to higher education.
Yes.
So, yeah.
So, I guess, Eddie, take it away on goals because you had a major breakthrough.
So, yeah. You know, there's always some, like, silver lining that you have to kind of go through. When this kind of stuff happens. But so for work at our particular coffee shop that shall remain nameless, I was given an offer for a promotion, and I'm very grateful for the promotion. I'll premise that off. I am grateful for the promotion because it will allow me to, you know, have more cash flow and, like, be also able to, you know, start paying my loans off, which is really important and what I really want to do starting this year. But not to get so caught up on myself and, like, sound super entitled about it, but in terms of the compensation of how much I'll get paid wasn't what I expected it to be in comparison to what I've heard from what other people have gotten. So I was a little let down from that. And when I did try to ask for, like, just a slightly higher wage, they were like, no, that's all you're going to get. And then, by, like, you'll get that increase for next year. So don't worry about it. So begrudgingly, I accepted it. And I was really pissed after that day. And I felt hopeless because, you know, you kind of build yourself up to this one big moment. And then it kind of, like, doesn't fall flat on his face, but it just falls short. So it's kind of like you're trying to grab a rail and then you just miss it. I just felt, like, really bummed out for, like, the last 2 days. But, you know, luckily, I'm very grateful I kind of have this mindset now where even when I have these negative moments, when, like, I was, like, you know, kind of wallowing, like, damn, like, really? They, like, really think of this about me in terms of, like, a wage. I was like, you know what, like, let's just try to get your mindset back on track and let's start, you know, getting yourself in an environment where, you know, your spirits uplift. So what I like to do is I like to watch motivational videos. You can laugh at me about it, I don't care. That's how I get back up. And I like to listen to one motivational speaker called Les Brown. Very great guy. Definitely should listen to him on YouTube. You know, he just does speeches all around the world, kind of like uplifting people, getting their lives and their mindsets like in order. And so kind of just really trying to get at it. And while, you know, going through my routine of listening to his speeches, a suggestion popped up for another speaker called Jim Rohn. And I remember listening to one of his like clips in a compilation of motivational speeches, but I could never find him because like whoever put that YouTube video up did a bad job of listing all the motivational speakers on there. Mm. So I was like, all right, you know, I'll listen to him because one of the videos was, listen to this video. All motivational speech videos on YouTube are very clickbaity. He's like, this is the best speech ever. It'll change your life. And you'll never, like...
work from home for $35 an hour.
Yeah.
Like, wait, what?
So I clicked on the video because I was like, yeah, sure, why not? And, I just started to listen to it. And what's interesting about motivational speakers and their speeches, everybody has a very particular way about how they talk, their demeanor, their cadence, their rhythm, you know, very nuanced, very specific things that like really helps them stand out. And so Jim Rohn has like a very interesting way to emphasize on words. He'll like let them drawl a little bit. So he'll be like, he was like, you gotta go to school because it's really important. Like, he'll do things like that. But, like, those, like, the way he hangs on those kind of words kind of, like, it, like, rings in your ear a little. Not in a bad way. It was like, no, okay.
Makes sense. Stays with you.
Yeah. So, I was listening to his videos. And so, he had one video where he was talking about the future, you know. And he was like, when the future is clear, the price is easy. And so when you go a little bit deeper into that, he was like, when you understand, when you have anticipation for the future, the things that need to be done to get there become much more clear. So essentially the price. So, you know, the future entails like, you know, reading books, going to classes or seminars, personal development. Those are like the prices that you have to pay in order to have that outcome in the future. I was like, wow, like that's crazy. Because I never really like thought of it that way. And he just has such a like way with words and kind of really explaining things and the perspective of all. And he uses stories to emphasize his speeches and his lectures. So it just kind of just all ties in everything together. So yeah, so after, you know, that really started to bring my spirit up, and then I was like, you know what, I think this situation is the perfect moment for me to start, you know, setting a goal so I can leave our large chain
coffee shop. Based in a Pacific Northwest city.
Yeah. So yeah, so I'm covering like the name that's on there. But yeah, this
allegedly
paper, yeah, has my goals listed out. And really, actually, I'll read off.
Yeah, go over like obviously not every single word. Yeah. But what are you gonna be?
But so, you know, I stated what the goal is. So it's to quit my job within a year and to have an equal or better paying job that's in my field. So I definitely want to do something with furniture or upholstery. Mm-hmm. So it would have to be a job like that. And so the things that will help me achieve this goal, not specifically like the task that I have to do, but the mindset and, you know, the things along the road that will help me. So like education. So like I read a lot. So I'm always learning topics that I am interested in, not necessarily things that, you know, I don't want to learn. But that's another interesting thing Jim Rohn was saying. He was like, if there's something that you don't like, but it's informational, learn it anyways, because it's still going to be useful for you. So that, just always learn. Practice. So in terms of practice, you know, I do upholstery at home, and then on my second job, I like to draw any like design ideas that I have, and then also, you know, documenting and posting things on Instagram, so like I can track my journey, and you know, also it helps build an audience for any prospective employers or, you know, people who like are interested in the stuff that I do too. Setting smaller goals to help my bigger goal, because, you know, quitting is easy. Like, yes, I can, you know, put my 2 weeks in and quit tomorrow if I wanted to, but I wouldn't have a job set up. That's, I'd be essentially screwing myself over. So setting up smaller goals to help the bigger goal is kind of like chipping away at it, rather than, you know, kind of like trying to rip the whole thing down all at once.
Yeah.
So definitely doing that. For opportunity, definitely, you know, we talked about this in our last, was it our last podcast?
Yeah,
absolutely. Last podcast. So I'm not going to go on too far with it. You can definitely reference our last podcast. But, you know, being out there, just trying to, like, look for something. You know, five, surrounding people who are like-minded or kind of, like, lift you up. So, like, I always, you know, Gage, you know, really helps me become a better person, because we're always kind of like, yeah, dude.
Come on. <We're>,
don't cry.
I'm sorry.
But, you know, it's just that energy, you know, with people that, like, want to see the best in you and then are always countering something good that's happening with them too. So it's not like you're like, oh, a good thing happened to me, but like Gage is trying to one up me. He was like, oh dude, like, crazy, because like something like this also. So always surround people that like uplift you, and stay away from people that like drag you down. And then lastly is discipline, because honestly, if you're not keeping yourself on track to make sure these things get done and get, you know, accomplished, then, you know, everything else before is not gonna matter.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have that discipline, then what's it worth for setting goals? So yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then yeah, and so for last but not least, I set for the month of February, I have a whole list of goals. I'm not gonna read them off, but I just wanted to let you know that they're all right here. The things that I have to do by the end of February.
Yeah.
And
we might add that as a segment, maybe.
Like, oh, what are your goals?
Put out a goal or put out something, maybe. And,
yeah,
you know,
I actually accomplished one of these.
Even though people aren't going to be listening to this for like a couple years, when they find us, when our clout is big enough, they're going to be like, oh, Eddie, funny, remember that thing you said you were going to do? Like, fuck. Kind of like, actually, shout out to my friend. I don't know if she wants to be named, but shout out to her for talking about access on this podcast, because I took an ASL class, American Sign Language class, in college, and I was so rallied by the deaf community and deaf accessibility for video productions and having access to captions.
Now I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, so she called me out on my bullshit, and I'm glad that she did. It's gonna make me have to go back and do some hard work, but it'll be worth it. At least with moving forward with the videos episodes for sure, as creating a transcript that matches our audio podcast, which my emphasis was on captioning everything that you made, no matter how small and no matter how big, and that there's no captions on these videos besides maybe the YouTube auto-generated captions, was definitely a large piece of hypocritical practice. So discipline as well as principle, sticking to your principles, your morals. I let it slip by. I didn't make the captions, so I have to go back now and do those. So hopefully by the time anybody starts listening to this, there will be a transcription. So that is a goal of mine for sure. Moving forward is to transcribe the previous episodes, which will be easier with video because of YouTube. But surrounding yourself with people for sure, like lifting you up, but also taking you down a peg and being like, why? That's not taking you down, it's being a friend that,
like,
will call
pull you back to reality.
Yeah, for sure, calling you out on your bullshit. And it's something I let slip, so I can't let that happen. So I'm glad someone like is keeping my watch on my blind spots. But yeah, Eddie always has he has such an enthusiasm for his career, and that really inspires me in my fields and in video production. With this podcast too, he sends me this list like, oh look, this is like my master plan. This is how I'm gonna escape, pretty much. You know, it's kind of like, oh, it reminds
me escape from Azkaban.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like Andy Dufresne over the long years chipping away at the wall, getting his way the fuck out of there until he all literally has to swim through the shit. Yeah, exactly. So it makes me more inspired to set those goals, because I'm very goal oriented. I'm very deadline oriented. That was kind of the anxiety that I got leaving college. Was that other people set my goals for me. You have this assignment due on this day with this expectation. Cool. I can follow those instructions. I can follow that design and within there express my creativity. But now I'm my own teacher. I have to set my own goals for my own times, for my own criteria. And that left me in a bit of an anxiety. But I actually was just listening to another podcast recently, Tiger Belly. What?
Yeah. I was just thinking, like, what? Make an analogy, life is like a syllabus. We all know, like, have it, but nobody reads it.
Yeah, exactly. Someone shoves it down to the bag in the beginning of the year.
It's on the syllabus!
Yeah. Peak.
Yeah, oh shit.
It's okay, that'll like pop. It'll be better when we have mics.
Yeah.
Look forward to future episodes. But yeah, I was listening to a podcast recently, Tiger Belly Podcast, Bobby Lee's podcast, and he had Jordan Peele on, the creator of Get Out, and he was talking about Get Out. This was press release just after, and he was talking about how he used to smoke so much weed and get really inspired, and he was such a stoner, but the weed, which was his inspiration, like, which would put him in a mindset of inspiration, was also a deterrent for executing his creative ideas. Mm-hmm. So it took him getting stoned with his friends to come up with the idea of the sunken place. For those who've watched Get Out, you understand that the sunken place is a very interesting take on anxiety, depression, a mental place in your mind that you cannot escape and that holds you in this like really dark space and keeps you from doing anything. Ironically enough, it took him, whereas in his words, like not getting sober, it's not like he was addicted, but stop smoking weed for him to execute the idea that he dreamt up over these years. And so it was an act of discipline to stop something or do something that he knew would further his ability to create, which was, you need to clear your mind, you need to stop smoking so that you have the mental fortitude to produce this idea. And for $7 million, he made upwards of hundreds of $50 million, which is, if in the movie industry, $7 million is like pennies. Mm-hmm. That's like if you had, like, you know, it's ridiculous. $7 million is very low numbers to produce a film super that successful.
Budget. Yeah.
But he required a lot of discipline. He had an idea. He did not stray from that foundation. His very unique, very different idea. And he made it because he enacted a certain amount of discipline. And I really drew inspiration from that as a creative because, you know, I don't smoke, I don't do drugs, I don't drink. Mm-hmm. But there are things that I use to hinder my progress creatively. And that if I put forward a creative or put forward a disciplinary goal towards that, I could do much more with my creativity instead of hindering myself. Mm-hmm. And I have to keep flexing that muscle. So from Eddie's master plan, I'm now going to start keeping weekly smaller plans that'll at least give me it'll flex that muscle of being held to a certain standard every week. It might not be the biggest goal.
I just realized, because I wrote another goal for this month. I have two separate goals. I have my master plan escape, you know, from
work. Master goal. Escape plan?
Yeah, and then I have my new February goal list, which I already accomplished half of something. Oh, I already did two things on this one. This is awesome.
Clap out of Freddy. We did two goals now. Good job.
Yeah. Oh, boom. Buy another pair of shoes and flip them. And I've just bought the Sorels today.
Do you want to show them? Show them for the camera?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So we've already showed the picture before. That required a visual aid. But now we have these boots.
Yeah, that I bought.
They need a little cleaning, but yeah.
I mean, yeah. But still, they're like barely worn. I got them for $8. They sell on 60 frame on eBay. So like, oh, there you go.
Yeah. We're definitely peeking. I don't care. It's just the boot stomp.
Peeking.
But yeah. Yeah, I'm feeling a little better now. Got off. The last episode was like we'll call it rock bottom, you know, for myself, for the anxiety.
Rock of bottom. Jobs. But now you get to build the foundation.
For sure. Ooh. Bikini bottom. Yeah. Oh.
You ready, kids?
I'm ready, Captain. I don't know. I feel this, well, I guess it's to segue into our worth. Mm-hmm. This podcast, adding the video element, has made me more excited. You know, to be frank, in the beginning, I saw this more as a chore, this podcast. Yeah. And I told you that. Although I wanted to do it and I liked hanging out with you and having these conversations, sitting down for, you know, an hour or so, mm-hmm. now we're definitely shortening it because before if you listen to the first episode,
yeah.
you
yeah, know, it's like 2 hours long. Yeah.
It was 2 audio files and this thing goes on forever.
I know.
But it was more of an annoyance just because I didn't believe in it as much and I didn't have as much faith in it. But
I mean, the people around us, too.
Definitely didn't, yeah. They let us know. But let us know in the Facebook what you think. Even if no one is listening to this right now, as we record this and I release it on Monday, every Monday morning, Two Boys Podcast, on all places you can listen to podcasts, it's still the idea that someone down the road is going to listen to this and listen to how much thought we put into it. That we sit down before the podcast and we have our pre-pod discussions for the more edgy stuff that we can't include on any recording devices. Yeah. But sussing out what we're going to talk about. And I get to sit down with this video and I'm given enough material. It's a single camera operation right now. Fingers crossed in the future what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But I get to flex that creative muscle. You know, it's a very linear thing. It's pretty much just one thing, but I get to add visual elements. You know, the womb chair, the illustrious womb chair. I get to fuck around and make creative little sizzler reel things. Like what I did on the last episode, I made like a little thematic push that we could put on Instagram or Twitter or something like that. And this is fucking awesome. And I hope this is something we get to do. I guess my ultimate goal, my lifetime goal, is to just be able to live doing the shit I love doing. Because I love showing up, setting up the camera, figuring out the lights. I mean, I guess we'll reveal what this light is in the future.
Oh, yeah.
This is kind of like this the idea that we had. But
hey, when you work in low budget, you got to do what you got to do.
It's fun. I love this now. And
I'm scrappy.
I feel like we're finding our pace in episode 10. I feel like we're finding a much quicker... I know this is all like very meta because we're talking about the thing that you're listening to, but I'm excited for this podcast. I can't wait to contribute more. This is my thing I like showing up for every day. Yeah. This is like our baby. This is like our kid.
Yeah.
You know, and we're fucking making it together and this is fucking awesome because for whoever the fuck shows up to listen, you know, I want them to hear how much enthusiasm there is behind it. And I feel like in the beginning we were like fronting as like...
It really was like that.
We have to...
I mean, even like, in our, I think 3rd episode when we were like, shit, we gotta maybe tone it down.
Yeah.
We were like, we caught ourselves and we're like, maybe podcasting is easy because anybody can do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, understanding what you're podcasting for is just another step. It's just a form of self-realization and self-awareness, saying that, you know, it's easy to ramble on for an hour, 2 hours, but you guys hold down to a subject.
Yeah.
And, you know, talk to an audience that, you know, actually can relate and, you know, converse with you, have a discussion.
Yeah.
So,
and this is our documentation.
There's layers to it. There's layers.
This is our journey. I know that sounds very like lofty and like hoity-toity, but it's not. We're not where we want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And we're recording where we're at when we're not where... Like, you're talking about a master plan about how to get out of a job.
Dude, I can't wait.
So, I can't wait to look back on this. Like, this for us can also be like a fucking scrapbook, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're recording ourselves at a time where maybe a lot of people are, or where a lot of people were, and they want to relate to that. And maybe there's people who are out of the shit who can sound off in the Facebook or sound off on Twitter, tweet us, you know, where they are now. Mm-hmm. And I would fucking love to hear that, because as much as we are trying to provide something for other people, provide for an audience. You know, we're also fucking two boys in this podcast. Yeah, and
in this room that we can't get out of.
Yeah, exactly. We literally cannot escape. We're hoping on your support to get out of here. check for our Patreon next week. No. But, you know.
People start sending us shovels.
Do that. I'll tell you about it after. It's like Twin Peaks. It's a weird. That's too like niche to get into now. But, I'm trying to learn from other people. And actually, quick update, speaking of which, the career thing I told you about last week, that there is a certain big career opportunity that a certain regular helped me maybe possibly get, definitively not going to happen this year.
Oh, really?
This organization has already started. They have brought on their production team that they're going to be working on. It's totally fine. They basically had a burner, boilerplate for when, like, cookie cutter boilerplate. Oh, yeah. Simple copy and paste email was sent back to me saying, we reviewed a lot of people's things and it seems like that we, you know, I was like, oh, this is already a fail, because they didn't say congratulations off the top.
Yeah.
But then he got to the bottom part of the body of the email and he said, I would love to sit down with you and talk about, maybe he didn't say I would love to, but he basically said, if you want, we can sit down and talk about how you can prepare yourself for getting hired in 2020.
Oh, okay.
Which is fucking your more. Yes. Yeah,
escape.
Honestly, because that was more than what I expected from this guy. He is the head of production for this very, honestly, it's like, you know, a very, very well-known and very well-respected company and institution where we're from. Mm-hmm. And if this guy personally is willing to sit down and talk to me about how I, as Gage, can prepare to get hired in 2020, that's fucking more than I could ever ask for. Because he's, or at least I assume, he's going to be talking to me about what steps I can enact. Because right now I feel lost. Like, I don't know where to go. I didn't have anybody else in my life who was following the same path that I'm following. So I'm really trying to cut it myself. Yeah. You know, I got a fucking machete and I got to hack my way through this jungle to get to the other side and I don't know where the fuck to go.
Yeah.
So if somebody comes along, they're like, oh, dude, don't take that path. You're going to fucking die over there. You got to go over here. Like, anything will help. And so this guy, like, I'm honestly so grateful. So I'm going to Marshall's, or I'm going to go thrifting. I'm going to find the best clothes that I can wear. Because I do, this is, you see me in my work clothes. Every time you see me, this is just a shirt that I got that I can wear and that looks half presentable. But I'm going to look the best that I can for this guy. I'm going to come prepared with notes. I'm going to come prepared with a notebook. And I'm taking this very seriously. Because this is a pivotal moment. This is an opportunity, harkening back to episode 9, that I cannot pass up. And yeah. I'm so excited. And if I get to meet up with this guy and talk shop and basically talk about how I can get where I need to be in a year, I'm willing to take that year. Just like you have your year's master plan.
Network. Yeah, networking.
Some people are not willing to wait even 3 weeks to get where they need to go. You need to be, if you really believe in yourself and you believe where you want to go is the right place to go, you need to be able to sit down and hunker down for a while.
I think, you know, it was something really interesting. A lot of people, I think, the mindset of a lot of people right now is they want what their dreams are, but there's this big disconnect between what your dreams are from what your goals are from, like, the things that you have to do to achieve them. And I had this mindset for a long time, and then recently I've been, you know, reforming and kind of just reshaping my image of how I see life and how I see myself. It's not about, it's that quote, good things come to those who wait, right? But there's another quote, you reap what you sow, right? And going back to Jim Rohn, he was, one of his speeches, he was talking about, like, the 7 rules of reaping what you sow. And one of the rules in that was, If you do not sow, then you do not reap. Which means if you don't do nothing, nothing comes out of it. So people are just waiting, kind of waiting for things to happen, just sitting and down waiting. It's just like that story where the guy, it starts raining, and the water's starting to rise, and a guy comes by in a camel, and the guy was like, "Oh, like, you know, do you want to hop on the camel?" And then we can head out of here. And he's like, oh no, God, you know, will help me. And then the water keeps rising because it keeps raining, goes up to his waist. The guy in a boat comes, and the guy was like, hey, you know, I can row you off to safety. You want to come with me? And the guy goes like, oh no, God will save me. And then the water rises, he drowns, goes to heaven. And then he goes to God. He was like, God, like, I was hoping for you to help me and to save me. Why didn't you do anything? He was like, yeah, I sent two people. I sent the guy on the camel and the guy on the boat. Why didn't he go?
Yeah. Right on? Fucking idiot.
So,
yeah.
So
fucking stupid. Boop, kicked you back down.
Yeah. So that's the mindset I've always had, is like, why haven't I gotten the things that I think I deserve when I haven't done anything for them? You know, you got to put your time in. You got to put the reps in. You know, that's like at the gym. You can't be fit if you don't work out.
Yeah.
To get there.
Conversely, and this might be a harsher opinion, but you can't complain unless you've done... Like, I don't complain about my physique. Mm-hmm. I don't say that I'm flabby and out of shape, because I haven't pressed a single pound in, like, 6 months.
Yeah.
But that's not the top of my priority list. Right now, it's career stuff. It's, like, getting in those emails to the people that are going to be pushing my career the most. You know, just contact... I'm drafting an email now to contact my career services people to get me onto this full-time track, like we talked about in episode 9. So I'm not going to complain about, like, not having fucking pecs of steel, because I don't fucking care about it right now, you know? But people will complain about the things that they want in their life without having put forward the first effort. So I'm trying to audit myself, audit my speech and my actions to reflect that of which that I hold dear. I'm not going to complain about not having a better place or a better, more money if I'm not willing to, you know, actually go forward and try.
Yeah.
I could be doing a lot more, but then, you know, also not beating yourself up for not doing so much. You know, find your zone, find your lane. How hard are you working, you know? And fucking do that thing. Like, it don't... Yeah, I can't stand people complaining and then not trying to help themselves. Because...
And then when you try to, like, clarify and be like, hey, why don't you do X, Y, and Z? And I'm like, why would I ever do that?
Yeah, because it's scary.
Oh, okay, never mind. Sorry.
You know, it's hard because it's scary. It's so much easier to complain. I mean, I think, you know, they don't want to fucking fall on their face. But that's going to happen anyways. But would you rather fall on your face, like, in the direction of what you want to do?
Yeah.
Or just where you're fucking standing?
Denzel Washington has a good quote. You know, if you're going to fall forward, don't fall back. So you can see where you're going when you fall
forward. Oh, I thought you were going to say, King Kong ain't got shit on me!
Yeah, Training Day. Good movie, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Spoiler alert. Oh, wait, I didn't spoil it.
I mean, that's a quote in the movie.
That's true. So. Ethan Hawke's pretty great. Has he been in anything since? I don't know. But yeah, that's just old fogies, two boys. Just I just love this is so good. I can't wait. I can't wait to, like, again, not be excited, but, like, in the back of my head still be excited. I don't know, because we talk about the podcast a lot in the podcast. So anybody who's trying to start a podcast, grab a friend, or even like Chris D'Elia, sit in a fucking room and talk to yourself.
Yeah, you could definitely do it. You don't need a whole setup. Gage has, I forgot what you're thinking.
H4N, yeah, Zoom H4. Recorder, using the field.
But you can use your phone. Just start small, start easy, you know?
Yeah. Simple. Honestly, just keep it plugged in, because you don't want it to die halfway through.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so we talked about that. What else? What have we got in the docket?
Sorry.
No, it's okay. We ramble. We just have to keep our... We like to keep little, like, bullet points, because we know we're going to ramble anyways, but we just need that lighthouse to bring us back to shore every time. Yeah. So Eddie writes it down, but he writes everything in the same fucking notebook. Exactly. Oh, small fact while Eddie's trying to find that. I obviously just recently graduated college. Oh, okay. You know, refinancing my loans now. So you hear that, Grandma? Yeah, you're going to be off my loans.
We're going to
talk
about
Like
education.
That's a good point. all through college, I used one notebook about the same size as Eddie's. It's like a 5-subject notebook. I was so bad at keeping notes. I would keep notes for one class in particular, but I used the same notebook all through college, and it's still, like, got 3 subjects left in it, like, 3 subjects worth of shit in it, but that's not, like, good. Like, my last grades were not that great, but it's also had nothing to do with my notebook.
C's,
it's just, I
C's
hate...
get degrees.
Yeah, I hate taking... All my teachers throughout all of my education always told me, well, if you write it down, you actually learn something better. Like, if you're writing it down, and it's, like, it's never worked for me. If I had just one of these in my class, if I had a recorder, and I just listened back to whatever's important, that's what I'll fucking do. Like, I don't... Well, stop telling me to write. I'm not going to write things down. I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, I
definitely agree.
I don't give a shit. It's going to be distracting. I'm just going to start doodling. But anyways, good segue accidentally. The next topic, probably our last one, right, is higher education. I guess we could spend a whole podcast on that, but
we could
maybe just what are our
college is a Ponzi scheme.
what the globalists won't tell you is that college is actually a transdimensional training camp for anyways. I guess I'll start. If I could go back in time, I would tell myself not to go to school.
Oh my god, same here.
But
well, partially because I ironically enough, the first day of class that I ever had going into my 4-year degree, we had a map where it showed where you need a license to practice like architecture and interior, well, interior design specifically. There was a whole like US map showing where you needed a license or an equivalency test to say you're allowed to practice it and where you didn't. And we're all sitting in the classroom and was like, why the fuck are we here anyways?
It was Mass, not on the map?
Yeah. No, what Massachusetts was, you need, it's called, I forgot what it was called because it doesn't even apply to me anymore. But yeah, you need like some, it's an aptitude test essentially saying, hey, look, I know X amount, so I have the, you know, the ability to practice it at a higher standard. But yeah. But what that it all kind of just went right over our heads and
disregard this part of the podcast if you want to be a lawyer, doctor,
one hell of a career,
rocket scientist, any of the hard scientists or any of the hard sciences or lawyers, please disregard this because all those obviously in licensure.
Those are different. Yeah,
but if you're in the more creative fields. Personally speaking,
if you want to learn German polka history, maybe college is not the best idea.
Interpretive,
Swedish dance.
Dance theory, yeah.
You know, underwater basket weaving. Gender classic. Studies. Oh, shoot.
We're going to bleep that out.
Yeah.
Gage, bleep that out. It's, unless you really need to, don't. That's just the short answer. And it can be summed up with that. Because I wish... Yeah.
I mean, we're firmly in a day and age now where the internet has brought us up to...
For sure. Don't go to film school. Don't go to film school. I don't know why anybody still goes to film school. I decided to be a communications major halfway through college. I originally went to school to be a therapist. I changed my mind. I'm glad I did. But it made me realize the non-necessity. And this is someone from a not a professionally working filmmaker. But, Akira Kurosawa didn't go to film school because it didn't exist. Or did he go to... Shit, I misspoke. My bad. I'm going to retract that. Bleep that out. No, I'm just kidding. I made mistakes. But there are filmmakers, the very first filmmakers didn't have film degrees because there wasn't a fucking degree for it. They made it. You know, and obviously that's like... There has since created a screen language and there are standards and stuff. So yes, it might be good, but all you're paying for is connections. So if you're too lazy to go out there and pound the pavement and try to get clients to do work, then pay a lot of money to go to school and then have your teacher talk you up at some social event that might get you an internship at a production house. But if it's not worth it for you to pay tens of thousands of dollars to maybe offhand get a connection, my tummy's just rumbling, then don't. Because, you know, you can go out there and you can get those connections and you can make stuff on your own. And the masterclass. If you really want to pay for education, before you send out your applications for Emerson and BU and all these different schools, pay $90 for one of your favorite creators on masterclass. There's these comprehensive, please be a sponsor someday. Please be a sponsor, masterclass. They even have Gordon Ramsay on there. He teaches cooking. Most of it, I heard, is just knife technique. But still, Gordon Ramsay has a masterclass.
Hey, dude, when you're learning from him,
I'll
learn about boiling water.
Pretty much. I burn it. But pay $90 for this comprehensive class. If you feel like you still need to, you know, learn more, check out the catalog. I don't think you need to go to class.
Oh, yeah. Skillshare, too?
Yes. Lynda.com.
Oh, my God, dude. I love Lynda. Like, when I was in my grad school, we had Lynda for free.
Yeah. That's the thing. You're paying so that you can get other people's services for free. Why not just pay for those services and not pay tens of thousands of dollars?
And then you can get Adobe Suite for, what, $20 a month with all of the programs?
And if you find... If you find like a job that don't know, man.
How work to dismantle for, the college regime?
Yeah, honestly, in 10 minutes. How to dismantle it? You work for a college.
Yeah.
And then you get all the educational discounts off shit. Mm-hmm. Especially if you like Apple products and you go to the Apple store and get those educational discounts.
Oh wow, yeah. But then okay, then like let's bring it back a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, skills, right? Because I know people who work at Apple. They have like really good applicable skills. Like if you work in the Genius Bar, they teach you everything in terms of the components mm. of Apple products, yeah. how they work, how to disassemble them, what like pieces need to be replaced. When you understand that, that's like a high marketable skill. So if you worked at Apple, for example, and just hightailed it out, you can have like your own like niche repair shop. Who's like, yeah, just bring me your computer. You don't need to go to Apple. Blah, blah, blah. I don't want to like throw.
Apple sends a cease and assist.
I know, right?
Two Boys Podcast trying to dismantle the Apple regime. I have to
return my iPhone.
Turn in all Apple products. You're not allowed anymore.
Yeah, I can't plug in my AirPods.
I mean, the same thing with filmmaking. An oft piece of advice that was very helpful, not necessarily for me because I'm hiring, but if you want to get into on-set work, work at a rental house where they rent out lights, cameras, lenses, and grip materials, and you learn about people, you learn about the materials that you work with on set, and then people are coming in to make films. So you're constantly interacting with creatives who are actually creating.
Yeah.
Because they're paying you for materials that they're going to use to make something.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, next time, you know, I can hold a light. Next time, I can hold this. Like, you carve your path there.
Also, too, what's even interesting is YouTube has become such a juggernaut for creative, you know, creations. And those type of people, like back 10 years ago, if you said, oh, I want to make a living off of YouTube, people literally laugh at your face or say, well, what's YouTube? Mm-hmm. But now YouTube is so established in a market where you get paid for your creativity and like the amount of views and clicks and likes and advertisements, so on and so forth.
As long as you fall within a certain
demographic.
Leaning. Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Hot take. Don't demonetize us.
Yeah, that's besides the point. But like, it's if you don't want to go to film school, buy a camera to start posting your shit on YouTube.
Yeah.
Now you have like YouTube Originals, YouTube Red, and like those have created their own climate of a market where it's now self-sustainable, and it's actually attractive to the, you know, the entrepreneur or the camera holder who, like, if they wanted to go on their own, then it's not as scary as it used to be to do so. Oh shit.
That noise was, disregard that noise.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, and this was kind of like the philosophy of Jerry Seinfeld. He told all young comedians, don't be a comedian. He basically just flat out told him, like, oh, Jerry, you're my hero. Like, Seinfeld was like, basically stumbling over themselves like he's a deity because he's probably the most known comedian throughout comedy, like stand-up comedy and show history. Obviously Kevin Hart is huge now, but he told all of them, don't get into comedy, don't do it, because he realizes the people who are weak in constitution enough to just quit right there when he tells them to quit shouldn't be in the business anyways.
Mm.
So I would say to everyone thinking about going to college, do not go to college, because if you're resistant enough, obviously barring any lawyers, doctors, rocket surgeons, if you really, really want to go to college, if you really want to incur that debt or make your parents incur that debt, and you really think that's the path you need to take, go right ahead. But only if you absolutely think it's necessary.
Yeah. Or unless you can cash flow. If you can cash flow and not go into debt, then all means, go to college.
That's a good point. If you just have tens of thousands of dollars.
I'm sorry. Yeah, if you do have the money, go do
fucking,
it.
Yeah, please waste your money on that.
I know, right?
on these tax-free institutions.
It's because a lot of majors out there are overpriced and not as big as a contributor to the market.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't think that, you know, going to school for German polka history is going to get you very far in life.
Yeah. Also, college degrees are just by the year being devalued. Like now, like nannies in rich neighborhoods need a bachelor's degree to like watch somebody's kid.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? That's kind of an over-exaggeration, but not really. I mean, like it used to be that a high school degree was just enough.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's not enough.
But now it's like going back? Well, it's not so much, you know, you just need a high school degree, but it's like, what are your skills?
Yeah, well, that's what I mean, is no matter what degree you have, someone, they've already seen every bachelor come through the door. Not bachelor like somebody who's single. I mean, they've seen every bachelor degree come through the door, and they may or may not be getting the results they need. So now they're just turning to people and like, look, what can you provide for me? Straight up.
Yeah.
You know, so are you going to spend those 4 years following a curriculum that'll teach you how to give someone a certain thing, or are you going to go your own way? One of them is a lot easier. Like I was saying before, it was a lot easier when people were giving me things to do. But if I had it in me, I could have for 4 years been building on my own shit and like going in a direction without hearing someone's voice in my ear. And maybe I could have done something, or maybe I couldn't have. I don't know. I can definitely pay off the debt. It's going to take me a while. It's going to take me a long time. But all college has given me is a better credit score.
Yeah.
You know, and I do appreciate the connections. It just, on an investment and return on investment, there's, for most people, it's not worth the return on investment. Mm-hmm. There's no, or there is no ROI in college.
Yeah.
Because it's a huge payment up front. Yeah. But yeah, I'm just repeating myself at this point. So.
But yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's.
I'm just heated. I'm just, now that you have the college debt, you become resentful. And
I mean, it's, nobody knows. It is what it is.
Yeah.
But it's. You just have kind of. It is, yeah. You know,
I can't blame any. I made that decision.
But.
And I'm glad that.
You can see in both ways, right? Yeah. You know, it's the government's fault for designing a system that automatically approves you for a high, you know, numeric loan with along with a very high interest rate to somebody whose prefrontal cortex hasn't even fully developed yet. So.
Damn.
So you just got to think about it that way. You know, there's you know, there's two sides
there's
of
no
this
rush.
Coin. Huh?
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. You know, I was just feeling a hot take. There's no rush.
There isn't.
Don't feel like so pressured to be pushed right out of high school into college. But my education is going to lack. No. Every year you spend on this fucking earth is your education. Mm-hmm. So take your time, please. Obviously, high school, you need to finish by a certain year. They're going to kick you out if you're like 30.
Yeah.
You know, then you need to go and take your GED. Finish high school. No matter how shitty you feel like, oh, but I can flip shoes on the side and cool. But if it falls through, finish high school.
Mm-hmm.
You have so much time ahead of you. Yeah. I doubt that our audience is going to be like 13-year-old kids. But if there's any younger kids listening, finish high school.
Or parents listening, too.
There's only three things that guarantee your success in this country to a 98%. Don't have kids before you're 25 and married.
Oh, yeah.
Have two parents present in the household and finish high school. One of those things is out of your control. The other two are not. So do not have kids before you're 25 and married. Then finish your high school. And then if you have divorced parents, I'm sorry, but I got divorced parents too. Make the best with what you got. But still, it's really not that hard. But don't feel pressure to go right into college. Really take your time. Stand your ground in Florida. But feel like, you know, try to flush out your... Make a master plan like Eddie. All it took is a couple pages on a notebook.
Yeah.
You got this. Even if it changes, just don't take such drastic steps.
I'm trying to think what Jim Rohn said, because he was like, if you see your future with... Is another A word. I want to say animosity, but that's the wrong...
Ambivalence?
Maybe
ambivalence. Like where it's mixed emotions, you're like, I don't know, maybe
like
not.
The feeling of not knowing. Maybe ambiguity.
Yeah, continue talking because this is just dead air.
But anyways, it's, you know, if you see your future with anticipation rather than, you know, the fear of what's coming next, then it takes a lot of pressure off of you.
Yeah.
When you know what your next move is versus not knowing what's going to happen the next turn, then you have a lot more control in your life. Also, one last thing before we even finish.
Yes.
Hard pill to swallow. But in terms of your future and what you want to do and what you want to get accomplished, the obstacles, like, that's just going to happen to us. No matter what, you know, you can do everything right in the book. You know, I can follow this plan to a T and then I fail. Maybe I don't leave in a year. Maybe I leave a year and 2 months, whatever. Bad stuff will happen. And if you're always going to outwardly blame circumstances, people, situations, then I think you're going to be missing a very large portion And you have to, again, going back to Jim Rohn, I'm like on a Jim Rohn binge because I've just been listening to his videos nonstop. He said he wrote a list down of all the things, like all the reasons why his life sucks, right? You know, the weather's bad. He's always stuck in traffic. The government's out. You know, he has to pay taxes, blah, 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 blah. And his mentor, Jim Rohn was talking to his mentor about it, and his mentor was like, oh, can you like bring the list in so I can like review it? And he's like, yeah, sure. And so he gives the list to his mentor. His mentor's super nice, you know, lets Jim go through the whole list. And then his mentor goes like, wow, you know, it was a really long list. You know, you have a lot of things going on. But he was like, you forgot to put one thing on that list. And Jim was like, well, what is it? And he was like, you forgot to put you on that list. And, you know, this might go over some people's heads, but the idea is, at the end of the day, it all falls back onto you. Mm-hmm. You know, what am I doing that causes, you know, what you sow is what you reap. So what am I doing that causes, you know, my effect? You always have to think about that, you know. So just be aware. Just be, you know, self-aware of the fact that what happens in your life is on you. And how you react to it is also on you. So just take as much control as you can.
Yeah, definitely on that note, call back to your last book recommendation, Survivors. People went through so much harder shit.
Yeah.
And they still can succeed so much more.
Yeah.
For all the things that you think went wrong in your life, and daddy didn't hug you enough, and you know, you really grew up in a shitty neighborhood, you fucking were in a war zone, you know, whatever that may be, someone lived through just slightly worse than that and is achieving just slightly more than what you have right now. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say compare yourself to other people, but in that instance, compare yourself to other people, because know that on a positive note, I know it sounds like somebody, I'm being mean, but on a positive note, it is possible to get through what you're going through right now and still accomplish all the things that you want in your life. You just have to not make that the thing that's stopping you. Because ultimately, you are the one stopping yourself. Yeah. But yeah, I guess it's a good note to end on. I feel like this one got really heated. Especially college. College just gets you riled up.
It is what it is.
Yeah, but that's how it is. You know.
You got to let it fall back.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, found this today.
Find of the week.
Yeah, find of the week. Midas of the Sorrel boots. This is a Calvin Klein Weekender bag. Got it for $10. It is selling for $26 on eBay, which is really nice. It's actually a really like malleable bag, so there's a whole bunch of clothes in it, so it can prop up.
And because we didn't have enough cue for visual aids, I'm gonna cover Eddie's find of the week with my find of the week right now, which is a men's small, iconic 2013 Boston Marathon windbreaker. It's the windbreaker they give out during registration when for your training before. And since this year, actually, Boston Marathon, Marathon Monday, Patriots Day, is on my birthday, April 15th, Monday, April. 2013, obviously, the year that'll live in infamy, or the moment that'll live in infamy, the Boston Marathon. But out of that, was born the most iconic Boston catchphrase, Boston Strong.
Yep.
And the ribbon was those two colors, the yellow and blue, which is those color scheme of that year. You know, it's definitely tied into our culture as a city. But that, yeah, anyways, that was a major tangent. That windbreaker, bought it for, I think, $6, is going for like $40 on eBay. So especially during this season, people are going to want to jump on that. I'm excited, so keep you up to date on that.
It's like I was sitting on that Patriots mug until the Patriots won the Super Bowl.
Go Pats.
So I knew for a fact that thing was going to sell.
Yeah, by the way, I don't like sports, but still go Pats. But yeah, maybe they'll make that a segment. We got our book recommendations, or movie recommendations. Yeah. But find of the week, that's kind of what we do.
Yeah.
And maybe it'll actually like let us turn in. And that's too much in baseball. We're not going to talk about that.
Yeah.
On to the next segment, the very final, what to wrap it up. I'll shoot it over to Eddie for his book recommendation of the week.
So, book recommendation of the week is Laws of Human Nature by Robert Greene. And that book is really about kind of our, it's just you know, the laws of human nature. Like, how do we think? How do we act? The book goes through chapters about the different types of I'm like losing my head. It's just so packed full of information when it comes to, you know, how we use power to like hold it over other people's heads, or manipulation to get what we want. How we narcissism. Robert Greene talks a lot about narcissism in the book, and how there are different types of narcissism. There's the theatrical narcissist. There's the extreme narcissist. There are also types of narcissists that have no like identity of self. And really how you identify these people, and then how you interact with them at the same time. So it's actually free on audible.com. So if you have it on...
Please sponsor us.
I mean, they sponsor everybody.
So. I know, right? Whoa, hey, don't speak ill of our sponsor.
Sorry.
Our potential sponsor.
But yeah, it's free. So if you have Amazon, boom, you have Audible. So
no excuses. Yeah, exactly. Sorry. I didn't mean to cut
that's cool.
you off. Okay, that was the book recommendation of the week. My movie recommendation of the week, because the sequel is coming out, the sequel being Lego Movie, the second part, I highly recommend watching the very first Lego Movie. If you're hearing this and there's a third one out, fucking congratulations. I forgot the name of the Lord and something. Lord and Miller. Lord and Miller. It's not Lord and Miller. It's not one person. It's Lord ampersand Miller. It's a writing duo, and they made the Lego Movie. For me, I think it was a fantastic film that exemplified them plucking an idea out of the collective consciousness of fans of Lego. Lego has always been a multi-platform, cross-intellectual property thing. You know, Lego, you have Batman, but you also have Spider-Man. You have Han Solo and the crew, and you also have, you know, Star Trek. You know, all these different intellectual properties, and kids get to play with them and experience them and their creativity. And people had made stop-motion Lego movies before on YouTube, on Vimeo. You know, people who wanted to get creative with existing things because all they had was a phone and some little Lego guys. And Lord and Miller made a story around this fantastical deep universe where everything's possible, and they built the movie like a creator would make it. Barring some, you know, special graphics, they used an engine that used exclusively Legos as the building blocks for their movie. So they had to be in the confines of these like fan fictions, pretty much. So I really respect the shit out of that. And they brought in the production value that would bring the big money, that would bring a lot of eyeballs. And people love it. From if you're 6 or if you're fucking 60, everyone loves it. The story is great to follow. It's about creativity and finding yourself and getting rid of excuses. Mm-hmm. So
that's pretty cool.
Love Lego Movie. Best recommendations. But on that note, I'm gonna get out of here.
Yeah.
This is Gage checking out or signing off. Fuck.
This is Eddie checking out or signing
off. I know I fucked you up. Sorry. Let's just start. This is Gage signing off.
This is Eddie signing off.
And this has been Two Boys Podcasts.